God, I ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds right now. Lord, that you would just give us grace to receive your word. Just as the word came forth this morning in our time of worship, that your word is living, it's active just as much today for us as it was when it was written by the Holy Spirit through men. God, I ask that your word today would penetrate, that it would break off things that needed to be broken off, that it would fill areas of our lives that need to be filled. God, let your word do its work in us. We love your word. We love your word. We love your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, to live an evident life, as we're in this study of James, which we subtitled Living the Evident Life. To live an evident life, one in which the world notices that Jesus is actually in us, living in us, that it's the real deal, we've got to have wisdom. If we're going to live an evident life, we need wisdom. But it must be the kind of wisdom that works. That's the title of the sermon this morning. Wisdom that works. We've got to have the right kind of wisdom. I want to tell you a story before I jump into the word here. I was about 14 years old. I was in Mount Vernon, Illinois. This was in the early 80s. I know I don't look that old, but hey. Jimmy doesn't look like he's 65 either, does he? He doesn't dance like he's 65. He dances like a 25-year-old. Anyway, yeah. Over in Africa. So I was about 14 years old, and it was kind of a neat fad, a cool thing at that time for young men to wear gold necklaces around their neck, you know. And that's come and gone over the years, but it was popular at this time when I was 14. And I thought, I need one of those. I need a gold necklace. Of course, I had no money. I didn't have a gold necklace. But in my wisdom, my mom had a gold necklace. And she never wore that gold necklace. And so, with the wisdom of a 14-year-old, I went to my mom's jewelry box and I pulled that necklace out. And it was just the right time. It was a thick gold necklace. And you had to have a thick one, you know, for a guy, right? Not these dainty little things. And this one was thick. I put it on, but there was a problem. It was too long. It was girly looking. I needed it up a little bit tighter around the neck so I could strut around with this nice bling gold thing around there, right? So again, in my 14-year-old wisdom, I decided I can fix that. And I don't need to bother my mom with it because, after all, she never wears this necklace. It's been sitting in there for years. I've never seen her wear it. So I'm going to take care of it myself. I went out to the garage. I went into my dad's toolbox. And I got out some pliers, some needle nose, and some other instruments to do this wonderful work. And I went to work. Now, I'm a pretty handy guy. And I was, even at that age. I was... Velvet's laughing. Oh, God, may our kids not have this kind of wisdom. Anyway, so I went to work on it, and I took out the number of links that needed to be taken out, and I squeezed it back together so that it would stay together, and I put it on, and I'm like, yeah! Now that fits. That looks good. But here's the problem. I didn't look far enough ahead to think it through and go, now, after I do this, how in the world am I ever going to be able to wear this out in public? Because as soon as my mom finds out, I'm toast. Because, of course, I didn't ask her if I could mutilate her beautiful gold necklace. Wisdom. I thought I had it at age 14, but apparently not. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to seek after wisdom. We're encouraged to long for it. We're encouraged to value it. We're encouraged to go after wisdom. It is so important. Read through the whole book of Proverbs. It's all about wisdom and the importance of us having wisdom. When you go to the New Testament, we're encouraged to walk with wisdom. If you look at Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk with wisdom. In James 1:5, we've already studied that. It talks about how we've got to have it. We've got to have wisdom. But in James 3, verses 13 through 18, which is our scripture this morning, we learn that we must be careful to choose what kind of wisdom we will embrace. What kind of wisdom will we live by? Because there's more than just one kind of wisdom. Let's go to the text. I'm going to read through the entire text, and then we're going to dissect it verse by verse. James 3, beginning in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let them show it. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds that are done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. You see, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, is unspiritual, and then, James says, is actually demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, it's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So we see from the Apostle James that there are actually two types of wisdom. There are earthly wisdom, and then there's heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom. This morning I want to go through and I want to talk about each one of those. I want to dissect them so that we have an understanding, so that we see the difference between the two, so that we choose the right one. And we know that there are two different types. And often, unfortunately, we fall for the counterfeit and we embrace false wisdom, the wisdom of this world. Let's begin at verse 13, again, where it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good deeds, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Notice how James is talking about two things here. He's talking about wisdom and understanding, and he's bringing them together. Wisdom is moral insight. It's a skill in understanding how to deal with practical things of life and dealing with them the proper way. It's knowing what's right and then doing what's right. That's wisdom. He also mentions understanding. And understanding really is referring to intellectual perception. It's talking about scientific acumen. Understanding is all about having knowledge. And that's not bad. It's good to have knowledge. However, a wise person will be knowledgeable, but a knowledgeable person is not always necessarily wise. There's a difference. Again, a wise person is going to have knowledge, but a knowledgeable person isn't always wise. For instance, knowledge can pass the seminary course, but wisdom walks with God. You can build a house with knowledge, but it takes wisdom to build a home. Knowledge can construct the Titanic, but wisdom steers clear of the icebergs. We're called to be people who walk in wisdom. We got to have more than knowledge. But remember, there's two types of wisdom, and that's the key. That's what James is pointing out here. Because often we just lump it all together. We just think, okay, I want to be a wise man. But there are two types of wisdom. And we got to be careful which one we're going to choose. I thought about that movie, The Matrix. Saw that years ago, and for some reason, that scene popped in my head from the movie The Matrix, where Neo, which is kind of the star main character there, is given a choice to take one of two pills. Either take a blue pill or a red pill. He could take a blue pill, and he could go back to just living in his la-la land of life where he thought everything was perfect and everything was good. Or he could take the red pill. And the red pill was going to open his eyes, and it was talking about taking him deeper into things that he's never seen before and seeing reality. He had a choice between two pills. And that's kind of what James is saying to us. He's saying, look, there's two different types of wisdom. You can choose one type or the other type. You can choose earthly wisdom and think everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? You can choose the earthly wisdom and feel like you're safe and you're doing what everybody else is doing, so it's all cool and everything, and just kind of la, 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 go through life and be like everybody else. Or you can choose the other kind of wisdom, the red pill wisdom. You can choose godly, heavenly wisdom, and allow the Lord to open up your eyes to what's really going on and go deeper with Him and live at a whole nother level. So we're going to look at both of these types of wisdom. First, we're going to look at earthly wisdom. We're going to look at the counterfeit. We're going to look at the fake kind of wisdom first. So where does this earthly wisdom come from? Well, we see in verse 15 that it does not come from above. Earthly wisdom doesn't come from God. We see that it's worldly. Wisdom that's according to the world standards. You guys have heard of conventional wisdom? Some people just say CV, conventional wisdom, or CW. Oh, I had a funny thing happen. Jimmy was giving me a hard time one day, and I got really frustrated with him. This is over in Africa. I got so frustrated with him, and I hadn't got a lot of sleep now, okay? So I guess I lost it a few times. I didn't know that. I just thought everything was great, and I had my head on straight. And so he was giving me a hard time. I got frustrated with him, and I said, Jimmy, you've now become my friend with a little L. Of course I meant friend with a little F, you know. And anyway. That's what not sleeping for 48 hours will do for you, right? Of course he's my friend with a big F. He's my good friend. I love him dearly. Conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom, worldly wisdom, it's what most people say is right. You know, if you go along with conventional wisdom, you're going to feel safe because you're doing what everybody's doing. It's like people who invest. They go along with the crowd, right? Everybody's investing this way. Everybody's doing this. So if you do what everybody else is doing, if you do what everybody else says is the smart thing to do and that they're doing, then you can feel safe. Isn't that what we think? That's what the world says. That's what the world's all about. All the advertising. Look, this is what everybody's doing. This is what everybody likes. This is how everybody's talking. You know, just go along with everybody else and you're going to be safe and you're going to fit in and life is going to be okay for you. Conventional worldly wisdom. I call it lemming wisdom. It's lemming wisdom. You familiar with the, it's kind of a wives' tale a little bit about how lemmings will jump off, just follow each other off the cliff. But that's what people think of when they think of a lemming. It's a little rodent, basically. It's like a little rat. And if one of them starts running, if the leader starts running, everyone follows behind the leader, and it's this herd mentality, and they're all following the leader. And whatever the leader does, everybody else does it. If the leader runs and gets a drink of water, everybody else runs and gets a drink of water. If the leader runs and it's time to work, everybody runs and they go to work. And if it's time to jump off a cliff, everybody follows the leader right off a cliff. But that's worldly wisdom. And that's so much how this world operates. If everyone's doing it, it must be safe and it must be a wise thing to do. But this wisdom is foolish to God. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, I want to tell this just as an example. Because as we're coming up to the elections, I'm thinking more and more how important these elections are. And one of the main reasons I believe these elections are important is because of the primary issue that I think is out there. That's life and death. I've talked about it before here. You know, it's the whole idea of, are you pro-life or are you pro-abortion? Which one are you? And it all comes down to that, in my opinion, because God is not going to bless a nation that's doing what we've been doing, 55 million plus babies that aren't with us today. And I think of so many things that how we just fall into this worldly thinking, you know, conventional worldly wisdom that allowed those laws to be passed, those decisions to be made, for a society to embrace that kind of horrific act. And it's everybody just going along with it, including the church. I mean, supposed Christians saying it's okay. I think of the birth control pill, for instance, is another example. That for so many years, everyone thought, oh, it's just totally cool. There's nothing wrong with it. Conventional wisdom says, hey, it's okay. It's no problem. It doesn't do anything wrong. It's okay. But you look deeper, and if you get God's wisdom on things, you start to realize, wow, there are issues. There are issues. We got to be careful which wisdom we embrace. We got to be careful who we're listening to. We need real godly wisdom so that we don't find ourselves in a world hurt. Earthly wisdom is selfish. It's driven by what's best for me. It's wisdom according to what feels right. But just because it feels right, we know it doesn't make it right. Correct? Just because it's convenient doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do, the wise thing to do, the righteous, godly thing to do. Just because you felt justified to yell at your husband because he was a bonehead one day doesn't mean it was the right thing to do, even though he made a mistake and did something really wrong. Just because it felt right to do that doesn't make it right. Wasn't wisdom. The other thing we see about earthly wisdom, where it comes from, James says it's actually demonic. Meaning, wisdom according to the world, worldly wisdom, conventional wisdom, actually comes from the pit of hell. Just saying. That's what God's Word says to us. So it's so important what we're listening to and what we're embracing as real wisdom. I want to talk about the characteristics of earthly wisdom. What are the characteristics of earthly wisdom? We see in James that it's full of bitter envy and selfish ambition. Look at that in verse 15. Bitter envy and selfish ambition is what characterizes earthly wisdom. It promotes the virtues of power, privilege, possessions, prestige, pleasure, those types of things. That's what worldly wisdom elevates. Again, it's a wisdom that promotes yourself. If it's good for you, it's good. I mean, I can't stand what society tells us. You deserve it. You deserve this. You deserve that. Like in a good way. Like, go ahead, do it. Because you deserve it. You know, life is hard and you deserve it. So I know it kind of isn't great for everyone else, but you know what? Go for it. Because you deserve it. It's the wisdom of the world. Selfish ambition. This is the kind of wisdom that promoted, or actually prompted, Satan and his angels to rebel against God. Hey, why should God have all the power? Shouldn't you get to do some of the stuff you want to do? Come on, you're important too. It's the same kind of wisdom that prompted the disciples to argue about who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. And again, as we're approaching election day, I can't help but think that we see a lot of this kind of wisdom in Washington, D.C. and other places where elected officials end up presiding. See a lot of wisdom that's driven by what do people think? And a lot of wisdom and decisions that are made based on, hey, I want to get reelected. I want to stay in power. I want to keep being the man. And so I'm going to make decisions and I'm going to think all based on those things. Those are my driving factors. That's the wisdom that I'm going to use to govern rather than the fear of the Lord. And by God's grace, we're going to see a change in that. But the church needs to speak up. We really do. This is an important election. I'm going to talk about it all the way up to the election and probably after the election too. It's important. As Christians, we have a responsibility to represent the living God in every area of our lives. Whether we're in Africa and we're looking into the eyes of little children and showing the love of Jesus by looking into their eyes and touching them and embracing them and caring for them and feeding them, or whether we're at the ballot box in Gilbert, Arizona, voting for who's going to be president and what the laws of this land are going to be in the future and what this country is going to look like, whether certain things are going to continue or they're going to be cut off and stopped finally. We have a responsibility to be Jesus in this world in every area that God gives us access to. And in America, we have been given the privilege and the responsibility to vote and be Jesus at the ballot box. And you use godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. Not what's in it for you and me. Am I going to get more from the government by voting for this one or voting for that one? No. What would God do? What does God want me to do as His representative? How can I bring Him? How can I bring righteousness? How can I bring true love into this world? Okay. Third question. What is the fruit of earthly wisdom? Verse 16. Earthly wisdom, if we live a life based on earthly wisdom ourselves or corporately or as a nation, earthly wisdom causes confusion. You're thinking you're doing the right thing when you operate in earthly conventional wisdom. But things keep getting messed up. I mean, look at our world. Look at our society right now. Everyone who's running this country thinks they're so wise and they got it all together, but man, we just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I think of an example. You know, you thought that if you just divorced your husband or you divorced your wife, if you just do that, then my life is going to be better and everything is going to be okay. And so you go forward with that kind of earthly wisdom. You move forward with it. You make a decision based on that, and then you find out, you know what? Life still stinks. I'm still the same person, and it didn't fix anything. I'm still confused. My life still is in turmoil. Earthly wisdom causes confusion and has people making crazy decisions that aren't fixing anything, but they're just making things worse. The second fruit of earthly wisdom is that it produces every evil thing. That's what James says. When we operate out of earthly wisdom instead of heavenly wisdom, it produces every evil thing. Brokenness, pain, loneliness, disappointment, hurt, death, every evil thing. Okay. So enough of talking about earthly wisdom. That's enough of the counterfeit. Let's turn the page here. Let's go to verse 17 and let's look at heavenly wisdom. Amen? Yes. Heavenly wisdom. That's the kind of wisdom that we're going to embrace, right? Yes. We're going to embrace heavenly wisdom. Where does heavenly wisdom come from? Well, it comes from heaven. It comes from above. In James 1, it talked about every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, who just sends it down to His people. Wisdom, heavenly wisdom, real wisdom is one of those good things that God gives His people who seek it, who want it, who desire it. You see, there's no real wisdom apart from wisdom that comes from God. Let me be very clear about that. There is no real wisdom apart from wisdom that comes from God. Period. Every other kind of wisdom is counterfeit. So how do you get this real wisdom that comes from God? How do you get it? Well, we talked about it earlier in the service when that word was brought forth about the Word of God. We get it from God's Word. We get it from Him. Real wisdom comes from God. Everything else is a counterfeit. So we need to hear from God. We need to know what God thinks about things. We need to have His heart. Our heart needs to beat with His heart. Our mind needs to think His way. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to operate out of the mind of Christ. And how do you have the mind of Christ? How do you know what God thinks about something? Well, He's given us the Bible. He's given us His Word so that we would know what He thinks. So we would know Him. So we would know what makes Him tick. So we would know how to live in this life and how to make decisions in every area of our lives. We've got to be students of the Bible. We've got to read the Word of God. Prayer is the other way. Prayer. You want to know what God thinks? Ask Him. Talk to Him. He's given you prayer. He's given you the opportunity to sit down and talk with Him and listen to Him and hear from Him. It says in James 1:5, as we studied a few weeks back, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God. You should pray. You should go to the Lord. And you should ask Him for wisdom, and He will give you wisdom generously. He'll give it to you. He'll show you what to do. He'll give you understanding. You'll get His perspective. If you seek it out, if you ask Him for direction, He will give you wisdom. Heavenly wisdom comes only from God. Listen, heavenly wisdom comes only from God. It doesn't come from a combination of God and man. Only from God. And in fact, unfortunately, I see too many times we, even as Christians, will try to combine the two. You know what? I'm gonna embrace godly wisdom. I'm gonna embrace the Bible, but I'm also going to embrace what the world says about things. And I'm gonna pull them all together and I'm gonna come up with a special, perfect wisdom and understanding and a way of living in this life today. Because after all, the Word of God is good, but you know what? It's 2012 right now, and there's a lot of crazy stuff happening right now, and so, you know, the world has some stuff to say about that too, and so I'm going to kind of mash them together, and in the end, it's going to be real wisdom and good wisdom. And so we look at that. Oh, I'm gonna go to Wall Street. I'm gonna read the Wall Street Journal, and I'm gonna go to what the world has to say about my finances. Because we live in a complicated financial environment. And I'm gonna go see what the quote-unquote experts are saying about that. Well, that's fine. There's good knowledge in the Wall Street Journal. I gotta say, it's a pretty good publication. It's a great publication. It's a good place to gain knowledge. But wisdom? You want wisdom on how to use your finances for the glory of God? You want wisdom about how to use what the Lord has blessed you with for His glory? You go to God, and you get the heart of God about that. And then you allow the knowledge that He gives you through other ways, like the Wall Street Journal and other things, but you make the decision from the wisdom. You walk it out from the wisdom that you receive from God Himself on that. So that in everything you do, you glorify Him. Because wisdom only comes from God. It's not a mishmash of God and man. What are the characteristics of heavenly wisdom? I'm just going to read through them right now. First of all, it's pure. Heavenly wisdom is pure. That makes sense because it comes from God. It is the very mind and heart of God on everything. Heavenly wisdom is pure. Then it's peaceable. It's not going to cause conflict. If you have wisdom, and if you're operating out of wisdom, you're going to find your life getting a lot more peaceful. Your marriage and your relationships. Peace is going to begin to creep in, which is a good thing, isn't it? Because you're walking in heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. It's considerate and gentle. Doesn't deal with others harshly. It's submissive. It's willing to yield. Not in matters of truth, but in matters of opinion. It'll yield. It's full of mercy. If you're walking in godly wisdom, you're going to be quick to forgive others. Because that's the heart of God. That's His mind. That's His way. And so as we are embracing the mind of God and the heart of God and His wisdom that only comes from Him, we're going to find it easier and easier and easier to forgive, not to hold offenses. If you have a hard time forgiving people, if you hold on to offenses, seek the Lord and ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for His mind and His heart on things. Because when we get it, it will become easier for us to forgive. Things will still hurt. But we'll be able to forgive just as He has forgiven us. Another characteristic of heavenly wisdom is it produces good fruit. We live differently. Our lives look differently. It's impartial. It's sincere and it's without hypocrisy. Heavenly wisdom. In the Greek, you know, hypocrisy, what it means to act, to pretend. And sometimes we go through life that way, don't we? Pretending. We look one way at home, we look another way out in public, we act one way at church, but man, when the door closes in the house and it's just us and the kids and the spilled milk and all that other kind of stuff, then we look another way. But if we're walking in true wisdom, if we really have the mind and the heart of God at all times in our lives, then we're not going to be hypocrites. We're going to be the same. You know, it's that what you see is what you get. That WYSIWYG principle back in the day before. I used to program computers. That's what I had my 2 degrees in. And I would do programming. And back in the day when I was programming, we didn't have all this graphical user interface stuff where, you know, you could kind of map it all out and really see what was happening. No, you would code line by line by line. If then, then if, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was just a nightmare. And in the end, when you pressed, you know, compile and then you ran that baby, you hoped it looked right. You hoped that what came on the screen of that person, of that end user, actually looked like what you just programmed. You didn't know until the very end. You compiled it and everything and pushed run. But nowadays you have that whole what you see is what you get. When you're typing up a letter in Word, you know, it looks exactly like it's going to look when it's printed on the page with all the bold and all the underline and all of that kind of stuff. It's great. And that's kind of how we need to be. If we're walking in heavenly, godly wisdom, what you see is what you get. We're going to be the same at home, at church, at work, playing basketball. We're going to be the same at all times, whatever's going on in our lives, when we're walking in godly wisdom. And that's a good way to live. Are you walking that way? You have the WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get kind of life? Are you living that kind of life? You can. You can. What's the fruit of heavenly wisdom? It produces peace in verse 18. Heavenly wisdom produces peace. And it bears the fruit of righteousness. And I thought of that scripture in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the fruit of living a life embracing godly, heavenly wisdom. As I conclude, I just want to wrap up with a few statements. First of all, a wise person is the one who does the will of God. That's what James is telling us here. A wise person is the one who does the will of God. Not the one who gets ahead in this world. Not the one who pays off their house first. Not the one who gets out of debt first. Although those things are great. Those things are wonderful. But that's not wisdom. Anybody can do those things. Anybody can get promoted at work. Anybody can just get lucky or blessed or anyway, just live a life without issues in your family or premature deaths and those kind of things. That can happen to anybody. But a wise person, somebody with true heavenly wisdom, is the one who does the will of God, no matter what, at all times. They just live a life doing God's will. Doing what God's called them to do. Doing what God has created them to do. A wise person is the one who knows the plans of God and then lives them out. A wise person is the one who seeks out the heart of God and the mind of God. A wise person is the one who says, I don't want to start my day until I hear from the Lord. I don't want to make that decision. I don't want to respond to that person until I hear from God. Until I have God's heart on that situation, I don't want to make a move. I want to go to the Lord. And you know what? I still don't know what God wants me to do. So I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. I want to have a peace from God about this situation. Those are characteristics of somebody walking in heavenly wisdom as opposed to conventional lemming kind of wisdom who just goes along with the crowd. Wisdom is knowing what God knows. It's knowing what God desires. True wisdom is knowing what God loves and then doing it. Not just stopping with you think you know it, but actually living it out, embracing it, being it. That's heavenly wisdom. So back to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among us? It can be you. You can be that person. You can be the person in the room that is truly wise and understanding in the eyes of the Lord. You were designed to walk in heavenly wisdom. That's who you were created to be. Seek God with everything in you. Do it. Seek the Lord with everything that you have in you. Allow God to guide your life. Allow Him to fill your thoughts. Read the Bible. Study it. Devour it. Chew on it. Make it something that you just need in your life every single day. It's the Word of God. Pray. Pray. And pray some more. Don't start your day until you've spent time with the Lord. Seek His face. Sit quietly. Listen for Him. Find a place in your house, in your backyard, or some the prayer room. Find the place where you can sit quietly and hear from God and receive from Him. Seek the heart of God. Allow your thoughts to be His thoughts. And allow your heart to conform to His heart. And you will find yourself walking in heavenly wisdom. You were designed for that. And make no mistake about it. Which kind of wisdom you end up choosing will define your destiny. If we walk in worldly wisdom, we will have the destiny of the future that this world has for us. If we walk in heavenly godly wisdom, we will have the destiny that God has for us. We'll experience the plans that He has for us because we will be embracing His heart and His mind, and we will be living those things out. So seek heavenly wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs. Go to the Lord. Ask Him for wisdom. He'll give it to you generously. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not a fill me with wisdom and now I'm going to get on with my life. It's an everyday thing. We saw Solomon who went to the Lord and he received wisdom so generously, but then he got sidetracked and he started walking in worldly, earthly wisdom and everything started falling apart and things ended very poorly for him. That doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Because we're going to seek first the kingdom of God at all times, and every day we're going to spend time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer. And we're going to have the heart of God, and we're going to live out of that kind of wisdom. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. I want to pray for you. Pray for us. God, I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You that we were designed to know You. That we were designed to think the way You think, because we were created in Your image. We were designed to feel the way that You feel. God, we were designed to know what You know. God, You've not created us to hide Yourself from us or to hide Your desires from us, but You created us to know You fully and then walk in that, to experience that, to live that, to be that. God, I speak that over all of us right now. That we say yes and amen, that we are people who say yes to You, that we want to know You more. We want to know Your mind and we want to know Your heart and we will embrace it. We say yes to You today, God. We say yes to heavenly wisdom. We reject earthly wisdom. It's false. It's a counterfeit. We don't want that life. We don't want that future. We don't want what the world has for us, God. We desire what You have for us. And we want to glorify You in our everything. So Lord, I ask on behalf of all of us, give us wisdom. Give us vision so that we can see things as You see them. Give us wisdom so that we'll know what to do, God, so we'll know what You would do. God, we ask for it now. And we thank You that You're faithful and will generously give it. Be glorified in our lives, God. We love You. We love You. In Jesus' name. Amen.